This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome. Welcome to A Biblical Response. I'm David Francoeur, your host and moderator, and I have two of the three team members here to moderate. And we have Stephanie Jacobson is out of the country, and she's we're going to be praying for her before we go into our theme. But I must introduce my two co-hosts that are here. Ann Limhoko, welcome.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to see you. Yeah. Good to have you with us. And, of course, Keith Masters.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic.
Great.
You too?
Great, yeah. Yeah.
You're actually my model for fantastic.
So quick story. I want to lead off with a quick story. I was just telling Ann before the program started.
Yeah,
you know, my son's going to rehab for his arm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually a Christian facility.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's awesome. But yesterday I was over there with him, and two of the girls that were at the front desk, one of them turns around and says to me, and I didn't know this, but they said to me, "I saw you at church on Sunday, but you were too far away. I couldn't catch you," right? Or I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to scream. So, and I didn't know that they were believers. You know, so yeah, so the facility has scripture in certain places. It's really pretty cool, and so once I found out that they were believers, I just had to start talking, you know, God stories, and start telling them about the incident that I had on 95 with the flat tire and turning around, going back 10 miles. You know, so so that was a good time. So I just wanted to say good morning to them.
Oh, cool.
If they are listening, because they said they were going to be listening.
Do you know their names?
No. I don't know their name.
Okay. Well, I hope they're listening.
They didn't give them to me.
I hope they did.
Well, that's because they're still using them.
Yeah. And I've got...
oh, my goodness.
That was pretty good, David.
David's got some good jokes.
I know.
Some, yeah.
And I've got another friend of mine up in Connecticut who's never listened to the program. But he said he was going to be listening this time. So if he is, I'm just going to say, can I say hi to Terry?
Well, you sure can.
If he is listening, and, you know, we're going to double check that at the end of the program.
yeah. Well, I'll say hi to Terry as
Thank
well.
You.
You know, I think
Thank
that's
you.
Important.
Yeah, Terry and Leslie. So, yeah, we love you guys.
Okay. Well, if you strain to hear me, I've got a little upper respiratory stuff going on, so my voice is a little different today, but... I'm going to work at it. I'm going to talk a little bit, then give.
You're going to pray for Stephanie first?
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We've got to keep David on track today.
Yeah,
I know. That's okay.
I'm just a little distracted.
He knows my signals with
he
my
does.
Hands.
Well, I'm learning them. I tell you. Didn't know what they were in the beginning. I'm glad we defined. Anyway, Father, Stephanie is traveling, and she's in a place where in a part of the world where Christians may not be as welcome as we'd like to be, but she's there with some folks, and they're doing your work. And we do lift Stephanie and her team up to you and just pray, Lord,
yes,
you bless
Lord.
Them, guide them, surround them and protect
yes,
them.
Jesus.
Dispatch as many angels as you need to make sure that they are able to do what you sent them there to do and that they certainly return home safely. We thank you for the opportunity that they have and know that you will use it to the fullest extent as they minister in your name. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we come to you right now. Amen.
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 So today, you know, we look at stuff in the news, most of which might be making you a little twitchy, as sometimes it does us, and come in behind the stories with looking at what's going on through the lens of the Bible, how we deal with it, how we understand it. Today, I'm going to open up. I'm going to give you the context, And then we're going to get into I'll talk about the spiritual side first, because that seems to be what God wants me to do. So I want to do what he wants me to do. Some scripture. I'm going to share three very quick verses with you to establish the scriptural foundation of what we're going to be talking about. From Romans 1:18, Paul writes, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Now, this is important for us to know as believers. And if you're not a believer, it's still important for you to know and maybe to go to God and say, what does all this mean? Because God is not an intermittent God in anything that he does. If from day one, this is God, that he knows, he's aware of the evil going on in the world, he's aware of the corruption in people's lives, in governments, in institutions, even in sadly in the church. And God is about calling people to repent. And he sends people. In the Old Testament, there were prophets. And he sent the prophets to tell the people they were off the track. They were not doing his will. They were involved in sinning as a nation. And he was calling them back. But he was telling them in the process, look, I know what you're doing. I see the evil you're doing. You can't hide it from me. And then, of course, if they didn't repent, then what he said would happen to them did happen to mm-hmm. them. And several times in Israel's history, they were dispossessed of their lands. That's pretty extreme, but that's what happened several times. So what I wanted to then, in the context of what we're going to be talking about from the news, is just to remind you, God does this. From Luke, Jesus says, it's Luke 12, verse 2 through 3, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." Again, from Holy Scripture, this is a promise from God mm-hmm. that the evil we do will be seen ultimately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people like to, you know, the devil likes to work in the dark. That's where he thinks evil can be done and no one sees it. But in truth, God sees it all. And it's important when it comes down home to us as God's people, number one, to know God is doing that. And then the third verse from Jeremiah, getting back to the Old Testament prophet, he writes this. Now, I love this. He gets right to the point. "Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them?" God says, declares the Lord. "Did I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord, meaning I know everything that's going on. And I am going to tell people about it. And so and of course, there's so much more in Scripture. We'll be getting into that a little bit later. But that's the context into which we were going to talk today. Two things that have hit the news where things that were done in secret are being revealed. And the other thing in the context of what we're talking about is we're going to be talking, number one, there's a couple layers of revelation here. Mm-hmm. Because God reveals at every level of human life, from the very personal, you know, what I would say where I live, where you live, in our own lives, up to the levels of, say, government. And everything in between, by the way, but we have, at the topmost level and at what we'd call the bottommost level, two items in the news where what the work has been done in the dark has been revealed.
Yeah.
And starting with, and many people have seen this, at the Coldplay concert, a week or so ago, mm-hmm. They have the big Jumbotron there, and they have the camera panning the crowd, and they like to stop on, you know, lovers, the people that are clearly together. And so now you know where I'm going with this. The camera stopped on two people, the cuddling. And when they saw themselves on the camera, they completely broke apart. The man went to hide behind a barrier, and the woman just turned her back. Come to find out, one is the CEO of Astronomer, which is a data, what do we call it, data mining company.
Yeah, $1 billion company.
AI company, right. And the woman was the head of HR.
In the same company, right.
The same company. Yep. So, and they both, of course, they're married. They have families.
Well, he was married. She's divorced, but was with a boyfriend, is my understanding, and just bought a house with that boyfriend.
Okay, I see.
I don't know if Keith agrees. He's looking at me.
I didn't know that.
That's what I read yesterday.
Yeah, wow.
But for the guy was married with two sons.
Yeah, and this is...
And she was with somebody.
And these are things, I mean, you know, this type of activity, people do it in the dark. They don't think anyone is going to see it.
Yeah, why would they in a concert, right?
Yeah, in a concert with several thousand
people.
But
what are the chances that the Jumbotron landed on them?
Well, then stopped on them. Right, but they, it stopped as they like cockroaches, they ran
because they knew.
But the
lead singer was like, either very shy or they're
right.
cheating.
But they gave an announcement ahead of time. So they weren't expecting, you know, they were not expecting anything to land on them, right?
Of course, because they're still holding each other.
Right, but, you know, what are the odds? How many people were in that auditorium or in that stadium?
Thousands.
How many people? Thousands.
It's Coldplay.
Like 40,000, something like
Coldplay
that, 30,000,
so
I don't know.
So popular right
I've
now.
I've got no idea how many people were in there. But, you
several
know.
Several thousand, anyway.
So,
easy.
You know, so... you know, for people that think that, oh, it can never happen to me, you know, it's right there.
Yeah.
And really, why we're lifting this up is...
We're not finger pointing.
We're not finger pointing.
Because I've been delivered, and we understand.
We
right?
did.
Yeah,
right.
So we extend mercy.
You know,
amen.
I mean, in my pre-Jesus days, you know, as a human being, I would not...
Let's not talk about that.
But, you know, we're all susceptible. We're all,
right.
you know, sin, we
right.
sin. We're sinners,
right?
Right? And but the point we're making, we're not lifting these people in particular, except that came out at the same time. Another piece of the news came out at a higher level.
Much higher level.
Of activity,
level. Yeah.
Much higher level. And this was Tulsi Gabbard, who's the Director of National Intelligence, sent to the Department of Justice evidence that the Obama administration had fabricated the data we call Russiagate to implicate Donald Trump in an act of colluding with Russia to influence the presidential election in his favor, that which he won in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after all this time, and he had said he was set up, and now the actual evidence, physical evidence, has been compiled, discovered that which was done in the darkness has mm-hmm. now come to light,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to go for potential prosecution. And we are not going to speculate on what the end result of that is going to be, but our point, again, and where the rest of this team is going to jump in, is looking at, in fact, we could say a lot of the stuff we've looked at in the news that's been exposed, as we can lift the lid on that and see evil afoot.
We are living in a time, and, you know, tell me if you guys agree, where the Lord is exposing not only those who don't follow him, but also leaders in the church. You mm-hmm. know, like we see, I don't know if you guys know Newsboys, the Christian band, Michael mm-hmm. Tate.
Heard of him.
It just recently came out that he mm-hmm. he was living kind of a double lifestyle.
Mm.
And we're not saying this to condemn people. We're just saying that we're living in a time where, and the Bible clearly says, because David gave three scriptures, that the darkness is going to be brought to light, and that each and every one of us have to give an account to our actions before the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
And I just feel like, because the Lord's doing this, don't you just feel a call to holiness and to make sure that you're close to our Lord? Because it could easily, our hearts are deceptive. That's what the word says, wickedly deceptive, and we could easily fall. So this is kind of a gentle urging for Christians who are following the Lord to stay close to the Lord, because the enemy can get in pretty quickly.
It's also a call for, you know, anybody listening out there that maybe doesn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, see, so... here's a couple with a married couple, a married guy with a girl who's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So they're still searching for something that they haven't found.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're looking to be filled with amorous or love or whatever you want to call it. They're looking to be filled with that.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of the truth of the Lord, because they're not familiar with the truth of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so we do that as human beings. Mm-hmm. We go out and we start looking for stuff that's gonna satisfy us. And amen. I've been out there. I mean, I've been out there looking for the same thing. The Lord delivered me from alcoholism, right? He delivered me from cigarettes, which, you know, I was smoking for such a long time. And, you know, I've used drugs, right?
Yeah.
So the deliverance was just, I mean, just fascinating. But these people are seriously, you can see that they're still searching for something that they don't have within their hearts.
And we are created to be in fellowship with God.
Amen.
So if we are not in fellowship with God, there's a big hole inside of you that is empty.
And this is what,
and that
right.
is to your point, Keith. They're trying to fill it with different things. They may fill it with infidelity. They may fill it with, you know, what if it's a career that they're idolizing? It could be. It could be lots of things. Pride.
Well, look at what he's got.
A tech CEO.
A tech CEO.
Yeah.
Right. He founded the company.
He co-founded.
So he's got the intelligence. He's got the smarts that God has blessed him with.
Yes.
Right. Everything that was created by him. By everything. Whom all things were made, right?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So it's through his hands that everything is being made in this company. What is it? Astronomer.
Yep.
Okay, in this company, Astronomer.
And it also shows, Keith, that you may have everything that the world says is what you want to have in this world. The riches. He had a beautiful wife and two sons.
Right.
Which we need to pray for all of them.
Right.
We need to pray for Andy Byron, but we also need to pray for his wife and two,
amen.
Two sons. Yeah. But it still was not enough to satisfy.
No.
Right?
Right.
Because we are made for another world.
And you see, and this is where people have to really maybe come to the understanding.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you a question. Do you think that he's blaming God right now for this happening? Do you think his wife is saying, God, why did this happen to me?
Mm.
When scripture tells us in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And this is what it looks like.
My prayer is that he's seeking the Lord right now.
Right, would you say?
Like,
and to be rescued.
What are the chances of this camp going on this couple?
Right.
And that, just let me just say, that is, when we do this on the air, like what we're doing today, and we look at what's going on in the news, it should be understood to all of us that when we see evil afoot in the world and people are being affected, some people are doing it, other people are receiving it, we've got to be praying as a praying church.
Yes.
And I know some people, they look at these articles and they are repulsed. Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, the some of the things people do to other people, it's repulsive.
Yeah.
But then we need to come back around and get past our own personal feelings so we can pray for these people.
Yeah.
And make it a point to lift them up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, David, when the Lord came into my life and rescued me, I didn't, and he showed me, I had nothing to be happy or proud about in my life. He showed me the selfishness of my life.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? He showed me the selfishness of my life. And I cried, seriously, I cried for 2 days because of what God exposed to me in my life and who I thought I was and who I wasn't.
Right.
Right? So, you know, it's, and we keep talking about deception, and this is part of the deception that the devil brings into our hearts and into our lives, you know.
But the Lord, I know we're going to a break, but it's the Lord's kindness that is intended to lead you to repentance. So he told you there's nothing good in your life because that is causing you to turn and repent.
Right.
He just wants us to repent. He's a merciful God.
Right. And when we come back, we're going to share a scripture that shows who Jesus is. In repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We will certainly do that. And again, I just want to say, you know, we're not like isolating these two people.
Yeah.
To be nasty to them.
No, it goes on around the world.
But because it was reported, and if you look, I said there's many levels that God is doing this revelation, exposing evil and corruption. How else can we know what to pray for and to know what's also going on?
Yeah.
You know, another word to the church is, look, pay attention. Don't go hiding in your church.
Yeah.
You know, and sticking your head between your legs in the pew and trying to keep from passing out because of all this stuff. God wants us out there. He wants us aware so we can pray.
Yeah.
So we can bring the word of God
right
into the midst of what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know, be not afraid. What did Jesus say?
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear.
Do not fear.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Anyway, go to that break. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back to A Biblical Response, and for those just tuning in, and I'll tell you, we'll be telling you what we're doing, but you may want to go to On Demand on our website, you know, and catch the first part of the program. But also, I'm going to invite, maybe you have a thought on what we've been talking about so far, and we would welcome your call. 772-221-1100 is the number to call, 772-221-1100. And get the call. Sherry will pick up the phone and patch you through into the studio. Back to you.
Yeah, thanks, David. We said before the break that we were going to share scripture. And, you know, this ties into the name of the program here. It's A Biblical Response.
Yeah.
And we're showing how Jesus, who Jesus is, and because these are the things that happen in the world, and these are the things that happened 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to read that very quickly because the story, I couldn't do the story justice, but it pertains to exactly what's going on today.
Yeah.
So in the scripture, I have an NIV Bible, by the way, and it's an NIV Bible for men.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Bible for men.
Okay.
So women, you could still listen.
You can still listen. That's right.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, right. Right. So here we go. Okay, so 8:2, I'm starting out with 8:1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus, from accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, he said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So in verse 12, it just says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Amen.
So, yeah, so you know that what was going on for this
Andy Byron,
thank
and
you.
And the woman, yep.
Right. You know what was going on for them was in darkness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was brought to light, embarrassingly so. But Jesus is the light so that they don't have to live in that.
Yeah.
They
yes.
don't have to
it's
live in that
It's actually an act of mercy that they were exposed, in my
right.
opinion. Because what if he was just living in this sin and his wife had no idea for years and years and years?
Right.
It was good. I know it's hard and it's completely turned his life around, but I pray that it's for good. You know,
well, I, you know, we can
and her life too.
Right.
We can, if we look at the Word of God, we see the stories of God revealing evil, exposing it.
Yeah,
it's God isn't doing it to shame people.
No,
that in every case, you know, we don't always understand. We say God loves you, that we think our love, our understanding of love is very limited.
Yeah,
God's love will be expressed in some ways that will absolutely challenge us because
yes.
we're being caught
yes.
in our sin and but the end game for God is not to condemn us.
Mm-hmm.
It is to bring us closer to him.
Yeah.
Even though the journey to get to him, it would be difficult, it would be painful, as is for anybody caught in sin.
Yeah.
And that's God's ultimate plan.
Right, through his son, Jesus
through
Christ.
Through his son, Jesus Christ.
And we see that Jesus forgave the woman right on the spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right on the spot, he forgave her.
But then he also said,
Go and sin no more.
Go and sin no
yeah.
more.
Right, right. Do not sin again.
Yeah.
Right?
So he demands a higher.
He does, but it's not our actions that are going to, you know, we can't
yeah.
do that by ourselves.
Exactly.
We need the help of the Holy
Absolutely.
Spirit
Amen.
In order
Amen.
To do that.
So true, Keith.
Right?
So true.
So we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do that. And then God protects us. But since God died on the cross for our sins, those sins are past, present, and future
mm-hmm.
that he's delivered us from.
Yeah.
So that you don't walk around with fear. Oh, I can't. And you're not
or
walking.
Or condemnation. Or shame. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So that you're not walking around with the weight of the world on your shoulders
yeah.
and what am I going to do? And this is why we're trying to share that message that Jesus loves you and that Jesus died on the cross for your sins
yeah.
and that the Bible, written 2,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
has the same situations going on
mm-hmm.
from 2,000 years ago
mm-hmm.
as we do today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is and nothing's changed, right?
Yeah.
And that's the same for God. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if God forgave this woman 2,000 years ago, God is going to certainly forgive you
Absolutely.
Or us.
Absolutely.
If, right? He forgives us as long as we ask and we come to him and ask for the forgiveness.
Absolutely.
That wonderful. Paul writes, if there was only one book of the Bible available to me,
uh-huh.
or maybe two, I'd take two. One would be the Gospel of John. The other one would be Romans. Paul, in the 8th chapter of Romans, 8:1 through, I'm not sure how many verses I'm going to read, but
mm-hmm.
there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For, and this is the reason, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, in previous mm-hmm. chapters, he was comparing and contrasting the law of Moses with the fulfillment of the law in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he brings it even closer in terms of his argument, is that if you're not in Christ, then you are imprisoned in the law of sin and death. You're living that out. That is, without Christ, that's the best you can expect.
Yeah.
Is you're living in a prison
mm-hmm.
of your own sin until Jesus comes along.
Yeah.
And when you receive him, you know what he does? He immediately, you get out. You get out of that prison, and then you have a life in Christ. For God is, he keeps saying, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
And that's Jesus, who walk This is the key. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you, that made me think of this when you talked, because this is why the church has been given the Spirit of God.
Well, yeah, and look at the example that we have for that, David. It's in Genesis, but, you know, it's in the beginning of the Bible, right? In the book of Genesis, in chapter 38, with Joseph, the story of Joseph, who was abandoned by his brothers, right?
Sold to slavery,
And it tells us, and this is, see now, this is exactly what you were saying, David, right? By living by the Spirit of God, okay? And in Genesis chapter 39, it reads, I'm going to go to verse, let me see, 15 here, 13. 13. Now, Joseph is the head of the Egypt with Pharaoh's wife. God put him in charge of everything, and that's how the story begins. But because of time, we're cutting to the chase here. But now Pharaoh's wife is the only one in the house with Joseph, who's in command of everything. Pharaoh's given him charge over everything. Mm-hmm. So he's over at the house with the wife. And the wife goes, and it says, when she saw that he had left his... wait a minute. Where am I? Okay. Here we go. Oh, this is verse 6-7. Okay, it says, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, and this is the NIV version. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, the wife, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Hmm. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, trying to seduce him, right? I just added that in. He refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties. None of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And that's living with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Denying the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yep.
Exactly.
Right? So we have two illustrations here in the Word of God, in the Bible. One of those illustrations is where Joseph didn't succumb to the temptation that the wife was trying to seduce Joseph.
Yep.
And the other one we have where the woman came out and she was caught in the act of adultery.
Yep.
And they wanted to stone her, and Jesus forgave her.
Yeah.
So in both instances, we have redemption, right? Because Joseph was redeemed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the woman was redeemed.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Restoration in both situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the love of God being brought out into the open. But as we continue to say, the Bible is, the Word of God is timeless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those situations that were going on 2,000 years ago are going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the truth of God, the Word of God being timeless.
Amen.
And two things I want to throw in there. We've been saying them, but I want to kind of crystallize them. One is that throughout the entire history of humanity, we have never changed. Our basic human nature
Look at our
has
acts,
not
right?
changed.
Right?
You know, people would like to say, well, that was then and this is now, right?
Right.
People were different 20,000 years ago. Say, well, not really.
Paw's coming out.
Not really. Yeah, paw's coming out. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I need to write a script. I've got to get that paw out of my system. but the truth is, we have not. And we will not change as long as there's life on planet Earth in this season after the fall. We will not. The second thing, which is important, it goes along with that. God does not grade sin in that one sin is greater than another.
Yes.
Now, we, in our human view, we don't think that way. Why? Because we live, nothing wrong with the rule of law, by the way. I'm big on that. But we do live in a nation where the laws are graded, or the rather
the penalties according to the crime
are graded, you know, at the topmost in the capital crimes where you have death penalty down to the guy that steals a candy bar in the 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah.
So that's our human view. But when we begin thinking of sin, and I especially starting with mine, God sees my sin. Mm-hmm. Let's say on the drive to work this morning, somebody pulled in front of me and I uttered a bad word. That didn't happen, although it has in the past. But the point is that indiscretion, that transgression on my part, in God's eyes, and this is scriptural, you can study it, is the same as the mass murderer. Mm-hmm. There's this guy in Idaho, is that right? The Kohlberger, the guy that murdered those students?
Yes.
And which is egregious. It's heinous.
Yeah.
But God sees sin, because any sin that we commit separates us from God. God's heart is what's involved in this.
Yeah.
And so God says, and again, it's in his word. Mm-hmm. So I challenge you to read it and study it. Every sin is equal in God's eyes, because every sin separates us from him.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've been wanting to kind of take a shift in the program. I told everybody at the beginning of this program how Michael Tate, he's with New Boys, and he's with DC Talk back in the days. Do you know DC Talk,
Keith? No.
Okay.
No.
It stands for Decent Christian Talk, DC Talk.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it was recently exposed about some behavior. He had drug and alcohol abuse, and then some sexual activity going on while he was a singer for Newsboys. But he penned the most beautiful confession, and I'm not going to read it, but it's like so humble, and he's just basically laying it all out there. And what I've seen is that some of the church has responded with such judgment, and also his record label just dropped him. And I'm not saying they weren't supposed to drop him, but I sense like we as a church, and that's including myself, we need to be careful that we don't judge people the way that we've been judging. I've seen all this bad stuff coming at Michael Tate when he's already confessed his sin and has gotten help and is trying to change his lifestyle. And I've seen the church just responding in such a way that's so judgmental. And I just want to, it's not good. We as Christians cannot respond that way. You know, we need to pray for Michael Tate. We need to pray for Andy Byron. We need to pray for all these people. And just a reminder that that's not judge, because we cannot judge. The way we judge others, the Lord's going to judge us, it says in the Word. So,
Jesus gave us a commandment about that, John 13:34.
Yeah.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I've loved you, you also love one another.
Yeah.
And I've seen Christians cut people off at the knees, other believers, and criticize, and it happens all the time. But that's not what Jesus called us to do.
Yeah.
That's another reason why we have the Spirit, Keith.
Right.
Because I can't, maybe someone did something, a Christian, a fellow brother or sister did something or said something that really upset me.
Yeah.
And my first response, you know, was to come back, you know, even greater, you know, with anger. But, okay, I've got to back off of that, because I have a commandment that my Lord and Savior issued to me.
And it's not always easy doing that.
No, it's not. We need the Holy Spirit to do that.
Right. But, you know, I mean, how many times have I done it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You don't realize you're doing it, but you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to take a step back and say, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Flipping. I don't want to move on. Well, actually, we got a break coming up, but I just have to say this all. I wasn't going to speak this much, but I guess I am anyway. That when we read that commandment, and we know it applies first to brothers and sisters in Christ, because he's talking to his church. And yet, now we have these two news articles we've been kicking around. One is the astronomer CEO and his HR person. And then on that government level is really the Obama administration creating a false narrative to destroy President Trump in his first term.
And to get rid of the will of the American people and because he was duly elected by them. I mean, it's treasonous what he did.
Well, it's treason. That's pretty egregious.
It's so egregious.
But the attitudes, okay, first of all, the attitudes happening at both those levels are sin.
Yeah.
So God sees them in the same way.
Small or large.
But you know, even for we have to look as believers upon unbelievers with the same love that Jesus looks upon us.
Amen.
And that after we have maybe been repelled by their actions or whatever, and not, you know, is to hold them up. What did Jesus say? Did the same thing when he was being put on the cross.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them.
They were nailing the nails into his wrist, right?
Can I just say really quickly, this is what Michael Tate's prayer is, and then we can go to a break.
Okay.
This is his prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It's a beautiful prayer.
That's from the book of Psalms.
It is. Amen. Psalm 51.
Yes. Amen.
That's his prayer.
And right.
That's what we need to pray. We need to pray always to always have a clean heart. Yeah.
And this is right. And I wanted to go to Psalm 23, verse 3.
Okay.
Okay. And it says, he restores my soul.
Yeah.
He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
For his name's sake.
Amen. Right? For his name's sake. Mm.
And before we take thus far, where we have come in talking about scripture, talking about these events in the news, has been to take us again, to take us and to bring in prayer all the people that we're hearing about that have sinned against God and against us, to bring them to the foot of the cross.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
And right.
Thank you.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response. In the last 15 minutes or so, maybe a little bit less than that. Hope you've been following along with us. This has been a little different program today in terms of our approach to the content. Not that it was a bad thing. I mean, we've spent a lot more time really on the spiritual, scriptural side. But we're going to do a little deeper dive now into the article about what Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Intelligence, has sent to the Department of Justice.
I mean, I think this is huge, what was released. So our Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, she released over 100 documents on Friday. So these are actual documents that you, as a listener, can go online and read the documents. And basically, it's implicating that intelligence was manufactured so that it would make it seem that President Trump his election was being basically affected by Russia interference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he calls it the Russiagate. But it's very, very, very telling what these documents state. I haven't looked over all the documents, but basically our past President Obama was directing the intelligence community. And then his Director of National Intelligence, his name was Clapper, to produce a document that details how Moscow affected the outcome of the election. And what is so sad is our national intelligence already had stated that Russia was not capable to interfere in our election in 2016, but Obama, allegedly, these documents state, asked for his Director of National Intelligence to produce a document stating otherwise. That's just egregious. That's, what do you think? I mean, this is,
well,
this
in, the,
is
in the second
crazy.
Term, right? So in the second term, you know, Trump was on the White House lawn and he was talking to the press and he said, I was the hunted and now I'm the hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of love that.
I think they're all shaking yeah. right now, aren't
they? I kind of love that. And you can't say that that's not right. All of the accounts of President Trump mm-hmm. being arrested, 88 felonies?
I don't
was
know.
It 88?
That seems a lot.
Not that,
really?
No,
I don't think it's 30,
well, wait a minute. Here we go. On June 9th, 2023, Special Counselor Jack Smith charged Trump with 37 felonies related to his handling and refusal. This is just for returning hundreds of documents containing classified information. Now, President Biden had his in the garage, but that didn't matter. They went and raided President Trump's house, tore his wife's dresser drawers apart, right?
But they're saying the reason that they possibly did that was to get this document, these documents that has been uncovered by the Director of National Intelligence. They're saying that's part of the reason why they think they went into raided Mar-a-Lago, because they knew these documents were out there. That's what they said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just got that.
Because you're looking at me and I'm like,
right.
No,
okay, I just
good.
Got that because yeah. so they were looking for the documents that held them accountable.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what that was implied in an interview with Maria
okay.
Bartiromo, but
okay.
It makes sense if that is true.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
well,
they were saying secretive documents, classified documents.
Yeah.
There's going to be some speculation.
Right.
That's really speculative.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But these were classified until she unclassified them.
Right. They were classified documents. So were the documents in Biden's garage as well. They were classified too.
Yeah.
Right. And they were just tossed aside like, you know, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is what and people that are going to be crying foul saying that President Trump is using this as a weaponization of the FBI or the Department of Justice. Right.
Mm.
But this is what they did to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they did to not only to him. Right. 37 felony counts on June 23rd, on June 9th. On July 27th, a grand jury issued a superseding indictment alleging additional charges against Trump, Nauta, I don't know who that person is, and Carlos de Oliva, the head of maintenance at Mar-a-Lago,
right.
Alleging that they conspired to delete security footage.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got indictments, you got felonies. On August 1st, 2023, Smith charged Trump with four federal criminal counts, after a grand jury investigation into Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 election. And we all know that that was stolen. So
yeah,
so that was truth.
But okay, so let me just interrupt you.
Go ahead.
So
I love this conversation.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about Trump, but what we want to say is the Lord had, because the church rose up, we were able to elect Trump, and Trump has been being used by the Lord. Okay,
it's the Lord. The church prayed for that.
The church prayed, and Trump is bringing things back to the White House that were not there when Biden was there. He's bringing good policies. I mean,
he's restoring America.
Look what he's shutting the borders. I mean, a lot of what came across the border 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, is the problem we're dealing with. So it's not so much Trump, but it's what he represents and how the Lord is using Trump to bring in good policies.
Right. And we're going we're going back into Russiagate. This is what this is all about now, right?
Yeah.
Russiagate.
Yeah.
So that was a 21-month investigation right after President Trump got elected.
Yeah. Mm.
So he had these people on his coattails all the time. And now he's got to spend money with lawyers. He's trying to defend himself. So it's such a distraction that President Trump wasn't able to really accomplish everything that he wanted to accomplish.
In his first term. But also look at how the Lord exposed the couple at the Coldplay concert. Now look at what the Lord's exposing with Trump.
That's right.
And now over 100 documents have been released.
That's right.
The Director of National Intelligence is going to release more documents.
Well, I want to see them,
too. This is what she said in her interview. Yeah. This is what the Director of National Intelligence said in an interview. This is of such historic consequence that it cannot be limited to one or two or three different people. You just outlined the implications and the effects of what actually occurred. And I think you're really putting into a clear picture what we are referring to when we refer to the deep state. It is very far reaching. These are people who are intent on undermining the will of the American people and trying to ultimately put themselves above our democracy. The Lord is exposing the evil that has been trying to affect our government.
Right.
That's right.
So it's huge. Everybody should be really following this story.
Well, he's restoring America, right, to the righteousness that
Amen.
It is. He's restoring,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He's restoring America
Christians
to the righteousness.
Christians are on their knees.
Now, right.
And we are on our knees.
Right. And I want to, you know, Palm Sunday, and this is who President Trump is. Palm Sunday, this is what President Trump said in his Palm Sunday speech. And he had another one on Easter Sunday where he was sharing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But I can't find that right now, so we're going to Palm Sunday. And this is what he says, quote, "As we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, mm-hmm. we look to his love, his humility, and his obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments," Trump said. "This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation.
Amen.
We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world, and we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven." Now,
I just want to say some Christians don't like the orange man, is what they call it. Don't look at the man, but look at the policies he is advocating for.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. God is using,
God used so many people, King Cyrus, so
God's
many people in the Bible.
God's using Trump. But remember we talked earlier about levels?
Yes.
Right? So God is using everyone who's willing to serve him at whatever level we happen to be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's using us here today in this room, in this broadcast. When we leave this room, we're going to go to different places. We love God. We want to serve him. He's going to use us there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Trump is serving God in that way where he is.
Right.
Yeah, we can see that what he does has maybe a bigger impact than what I do. More people are involved. But from God's view, it's just, are you going to serve me or not?
Well, right. But, you know, everything that occurred against President Trump during the 4 years that Biden was in office and the weaponization of the DOJ against him. And we just talked about the forgiveness and how hard is it, because I got to tell you, it's very difficult under these circumstances because of all the people that they affected.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what happened to Rudy Giuliani. Look at what happened. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened to Steve Bannon. Look at what happened to Roger Stone.
Yes. Roger Stone was in jail. He's
released.
Yeah.
Look, he was pardoned. Right.
Yeah.
He was pardoned
by President Trump.
Amen.
Yep.
So look at what the Democratic Party, they intentionally went after these people. There were 332 people connected to the Russia probe that they were investigating.
Wow.
332 people. So they were looking to tear down the infrastructure of the Republican Party with President Trump as the leader of that party. And now if they're going to cry,
there's also some Republicans that are
moderate. Well, they say they're Republicans.
They say they're Republicans,
but they don't stand right. They don't stand up for the Republican beliefs or you know, the defense of the Republican Party. So that's what was going on. And
We basically just have to say this is evil. And the only reason this is being exposed is because the Lord is uncovering it. And we need to realize this is evil.
I'm going to read this right here. It's in my NIV Bible for Men.
I don't get why the Bible's just for men.
Well,
maybe it has like devotions geared towards men.
It
or
does.
Something.
It's got myths. It's got myths. So I'm in myth number 32 here.
Okay.
This is awesome. Okay.
Go ahead, Keith.
So it says the purpose of being guilty is to bring us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Once we are there, then its purpose is finished. If we continue to make ourselves guilty, to blame ourselves, then that is sin in itself. Corrie ten Boom. I don't know who Corrie ten Boom is.
Corrie ten Boom. She was part of when Nazi Germany, and she was living through that.
Really?
And she lost a bunch of family
Jews
members.
They hid Jews
in her home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were arrested.
Yes.
Wow.
In a concentration camp.
Corrie ten Boom is amazing.
So there's a purpose. There's purpose to discovery for being exposed to what's going on out there.
And I just want our listener, because I know we don't have a lot of time. I keep looking
at
the clock.
Man, this program has gone so fast.
The reason why there's so much evil against President Trump is because, why do you think people hate him so much?
Because he stands for Jesus.
Yes, he stands for Jesus, and also because the evil does not want what is happening in our country right now. And that's why the Lord, because we as Christians are on our knees praying for this country, he's going to restore this country. And you're going to see stories like this continue to unfold. It's just the beginning.
No. Because the devil likes to steal, kill, and destroy.
And he wants to steal this country.
He wants to steal this country from God. He wants to take from God whatever he can.
No.
And we know he's a defeated foe. And he's not going to achieve that. God will not allow it.
Well, he's protecting President Trump. And I'm going to read Psalm 109 here. Verses 1 through 5. It says, My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. So isn't that what's gone on?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what's gone on for President Trump?
Yeah, but I just want to say, like, just really think, why do you think these things are being exposed? And just pray about our country, because there is evil that wants to just get rid of our country and to usurp the liberty and freedom that God has given us in this country. And if we don't, as Christians, stand up and get involved in politics,
yeah,
we're going to abdicate that role to the world.
And we just talked about that from last week with the IRS.
Yeah.
And the rules changes that
with
happened.
The Johnson
Amendment.
Yeah.
Right? And that the church can endorse their candidates.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your favor.
Amen.
Upon the church.
So the church has to speak up
and
get more involved in what's going on.
And please read the news. Please be informed.
And defend the righteousness.
Yes.
Defend the righteousness of who God is in the party.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And as you see,
and then
more,
we need to pray for Democrats too.
Oh yeah,
because there's some Christians there who are a little lost. I apologize. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, as we see more and more of these things being
revealed,
to know what's behind that spiritually, and not just to pray for them, but also, you know, look around and see what God is doing, because these things don't happen out in a vacuum. God is working, and again, it's restoration of America, it's restoration of our lives, restoration of his plan for America, because we have a plan that fits in with his plan for the world.
Right.
But right now, his plan for this program is running out of time.
I think
so
Keith wants to get one last word in his notebook.
Well, I wish we could do that, but we've got to go.
We're good.
So thank you for listening.
Yep.
Next week,
God
same
bless
time,
you.
Same
God
station.
Bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com.